Hey, I put these, scattered these around the tables. These are what we're going to be studying. I think we're going to be studying this little book for 2 weeks because take one look at your handout and you will see it's a long one. I think it's going to take us 2 weeks to get through that handout. So, if you don't have this book, I bought this book before in here and I handed it out. I only ordered 50 because I know a lot of you have it. So if you have it, just don't get one, okay? But if you don't have it, get one. All right, let's open with a word of prayer this morning. I'm going to jump right into our lesson. I'm so glad you're here this morning. I think this lesson is going to be good, but there's just that little kick. You're going to have to come back next week so I can do the whole thing, and I hate that I can't do it in 1 week. In fact, I did it in 1 week before, and that's really why I want to do it again, because that was the day of our 150th anniversary of our church. We didn't have tables. We were 15 minutes shortened in our Sunday school time, and I just didn't get to teach it thoroughly, and it's meant so much to me personally. That's why I want to revisit this lesson. So let's open with a word of prayer. Let's ask God to teach us this morning. Our Father, we come before you this morning. We are thankful, Father, as we enter this week of Thanksgiving. We're so blessed. We're so blessed to have one another. We're so blessed to be living in this place. We're so blessed to have our church. Father, I pray this morning that you would take this lesson. I pray that it will be a lesson that really has feet on it, that we'll take it and walk it out, that we'll take it and use it as a tool in our life. And I pray that great things will come because of this one lesson. And we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start with a test. So, nobody look at anybody else's paper, okay? That's not going to be allowed. So, let's start with this question. I want you to rate how satisfied you are with your prayer life on a scale did I put 1 to 5 or 1 to 10?
10.
1 to 10. All right. 1 is your least satisfied. 10 is, oh, I'm so satisfied. 1 to 10, where are you? If you just think and analyze your own prayer life, where you are in your prayer life, how satisfied you are. And then let's do some true or false. This one's easy. I believe prayer is powerful. Do you really believe that? If you do, put true. If you don't, put false. Here's the next one. I spend dedicated time in prayer most every day. Now, I'm not talking about those little prayers that we just shout out all during our day. Oh, Lord, there's that parking place. Thank you. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you carved out a time period where you're going, it's for the purpose of prayer. It may be only 10 minutes, but it's a time you've carved out for prayer. So that's either true or false. Here's the next one. If I were honest, I would say my prayer time is boring. Now don't look at anybody else's paper. And then this one, when I pray, I tend to pray the same old things about the same old things. You know, you just have your little list, you get your list out, and what do? You pray the same old things about the same old things, right? And then this one, I wish I was more committed and disciplined in making prayer more of a priority. All right, so we're thinking about prayer. And prayer is such, when you think about it, that I have been invited to communicate with the very Creator, Jehovah, I am that I am, God, the one who was, who is, who evermore will be, the one who is all powerful, all knowing, all everything. Little old me, I've been given a direct pipeline to have access to communicate with him. Now that's a little hard because God's invisible. Hard communicating with someone that is invisible. But when you stop and think about the fact that you've been given access to the most glorious being in the universe, the most fascinating person in the universe, you can go to him and talk about anything and everything. You can talk about the most minute details in your life and the most important details in your life. What an amazing privilege. And yet, why don't we pray more? That's the question we're going to be thinking about. Why do I find prayer hard? Why do I find prayer boring? Is it because we don't care enough about the people or the matters that are on our prayer list? No, not at all. Because those people and those circumstances, those are the very things that our lives and our worlds revolve around, right? And so the problem isn't my desire. I really do want to be a prayer warrior, don't you? In your heart of hearts, that's a desire that we have. I want to be praying in my world. I really do believe prayer is powerful. I bet every one of you put true on that statement because it's true. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that our problem isn't with us. Our problem is with our method. Our method. Today, I want to remind you of a method from this little book, Praying the Bible. I think it's a prayer-changing method. It's simple, it's life-changing when it comes to praying meaningful prayer. And I'll give you a little testimony. When I taught this book several years ago, can't remember exactly when that was, but I was on the beginning of that method. Because, you know, I'm a studier. I'm always reading. I've got 100 books on prayer in my personal library. Well, maybe not 100. But at least 5. And I've read them, and I've taught most of them. And I do that because I want to be a more effective prayer warrior, because I really do believe prayer is powerful. And so I got this little book, and I got so excited about it, and I started doing this little method. And that was, I think, over 2-3 years ago. I'm still doing it. It's become a habit of my life. It's very simple and it's very transformational in your own lives. And I'm so glad you're here today for this lesson. Let's lay a quick foundation this morning for our lesson. Let's just talk about a few facts. And they are all going to relate to prayer. Here's the first one I want you to put on your handout. It is, now think about it, it is the Holy Spirit's presence within us that prompts us to pray. So here's the deal about prayer. I get born again, and by the way, my new birth was a work of the Spirit of God. I couldn't birth myself. He came and he convicted me. He called me to God. He granted repentance. I turned to the Lord. I was born again, right? Now, when that happened, he moved right in to my body. I'll show you that out of Scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Do you know that only people who have the Holy Spirit in them, people who are born again, have access to pray to God. What about those people who are unbelievers out there? Can they pray to God? No, they don't have access to God. There's only one prayer they can pray, and that is to turn from sin and to turn to God. That is the prayer. The prayer of repentance is what God will hear in their life. Only believers who have the Holy Spirit have this desire. They have this presence within them. The Holy Spirit in me gives me holy desires. And that one desire is to pray. One of those desires is to pray. I didn't have that in me before I was saved. Now, I was a good little southern girl. I didn't get saved until I was a newlywed. But, I mean, I always knew good Christians prayed, good Christians went to church, good Christians, you know, because I was raised in the South, and I knew what good Christians did. And every now and then, I'd try to be a good Christian. But trying to be a good Christian is like trying to be a car without an engine. You can't go very far. And so you have to be born again. And that's all a work of the Holy Spirit. And when he moves in, he gives you the desire to pray. Laura needs a handout. Laura, there's one right here. Get that. I'm sorry. Now, put another scripture down on your handout, and it's this. It's, the Holy Spirit is nothing more than Christ in you. He's your hope of glory. He's in you. So this morning, what I don't want to do is, oh, goodness, I got to go home and I want to be a good Christian. I feel bad about myself. I don't ever pray enough. I'm not trying to heap guilt on you at all. I'm trying to facilitate you. I'm trying to get us to think of a better, we're thinking outside the box this morning. So when the Holy Spirit moved in, he brought with him, listen, his holy hungers. I hunger after what he hungers after now. He brought with him, as he moved in, his holy loves. What is it that the Holy Spirit loves? He loves peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are his attributes. He moved in, he brought those with him, and his holy desires. And once again, these are things that were not in us before we were saved. This is the spiritual heartbeat, listen to me, of 100% of everyone who's born again. It's not, oh, Teresa got that desire, but I didn't. No. Each person who is born again gets the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings those desires with him. Now, with, you know, that little born again person may be 9 years old. Or they may be 99 years old. But I'm just going to say this morning, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, he is going to create within you holy desires. They're pulsing inside of you with an ever-fresh, ever-green working of the Spirit of God. He manifests himself in every person in whom he dwells. Look on your handout, two scriptures there that tell us this. Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:8. Both of those said the Holy Spirit causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. You have the Holy Spirit in you. He gives you that desire to cry out to your Heavenly Father and to say daddy. Now let's write down three realities of the Holy Spirit being in us. All right, number one, he causes us to want to pray. He changes our wanter. And one of the things he does is he causes us to want to pray. Uh-oh, I think I've messed up. Hang on. All right, here's the second thing. He causes us to believe that God is our Father. He gives you the sense that you're a daughter. That's what I'm saying. And then number three, he fills us with an undying desire to talk to God. Now, what have we learned so far this morning? Okay, we've learned the Spirit of God is in us, and because he's in us, he's pushing against one side of our soul through his holy desires that are planted in us by his presence there. Do you feel that? Do you feel the Holy Spirit in you pressing his desires, right? That means you're saved. That's an evidence that you're saved. But then, that holy presence in me, it collides with my experience. Because after all, I am still in a body of flesh. I still have fleshly desires. This is possible for me to walk by my flesh and not walk by the Spirit of God. That grieves God's Spirit. That causes me to be disciplined. But we have to recognize that. And frankly, when I pray, if I'm honest, Teresa, my experience tells me I'm not getting very far in my prayer life. And my prayer life can feel boring. And my prayer life can be not very satisfying to me. And when prayer is boring and prayer is not fulfilling, I just don't feel like praying, and it becomes very hard for me to pray, and I get out of the habit. Oh yeah, I'll set aside a time. And I'll say, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to have my quiet time, I'm going to get in God's Word, and then I'm going to move from God's Word, and I'm going to go into a prayer time, and I'm going to get out my little prayer sheet, maybe my prayer journal. And before I know it, my mind's wandering about my day, and everything's on my list for the day. And, oh, I need to do that. Let me jot that down. And suddenly I say, oh, stop. My mind's wandering. Come back to prayer, and let me go to my next person on my list. Where was I? And then I return to that same list that I pray over all the time, because that's my world, and that's where I live. Teresa, I know prayer is not supposed to be like that. It should be different than that. I should be somehow more excited about it. Something must be wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. And I want to address this problem in this Sunday school lesson. And here's what I want to say. The problem isn't you. The problem is your method. Because the method of most Christians in prayer is just to get that list out and to say the same old things about the same old things every day. And if our prayer is just the same spoken sentences over and over on every occasion, no wonder we would wonder, do my prayers even really matter? Does God really want me coming every day repeating the same old things again and again? Because prayers without variety eventually become words without meaning. And Jesus addresses this very thing in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. And there he said to pray this way. And he gives the Lord's Prayer. And then he says this, to pray in vain is when you pray repeated phrases over and over again. Now, this is sad for us because we believe in prayer. We want to be prayer warriors. We desire to be prayer warriors. We believe the Spirit of God is in us. He's prompting us to pray. But because we say the same old thing about the same old things, it can seem as though all we do in prayer is simply heap up vain repetitions, which is what we don't want to do. And this drains our motivation, and we try to dutifully every day grind out another round of prayer, and our minds wander again, and we can feel like a spiritual failure. Now, I'm not saying that's any of you at all. Let's go to the next point. The problem, then, is not that we pray about the same old things. That's not the problem. I'm not going to tell you, go get another list. Add to your list. No. I think this is very important for us to talk about this morning. Did you know these things that we pray about every day, they're where we live. They don't change. I have five children. five spouses that are married to my five children. I have 25 grandchildren. I want to pray over them every day. That's never going to change until we start adding the great-grandchildren. Then it'll just get bigger. So what do we pray about? Well, just think about it. What do you pray about? I said, our families are on our list. Then you've got your job, and then you've got your husbands. And if you're not married, you're praying to get a husband. What else is on our list? We pray about our future. We pray about our decisions, upcoming events, our finances. We have needs. We have bills that have to be paid. If you're a student, you're praying about that schoolwork and that test and your future job and your future mate. It's just normal for us to pray about what we spend most of our waking hours doing during the week. And then, of course, there's our Christian concerns. We have our church, our personal ministries. We're involved with other people. We know people in our worlds who are suffering, who are needy. We pray for them. We have people in our world who don't know the Lord, and we're praying for them. And then there's always a current crisis going on in our lives, right? We don't even have to think about that. That immediately comes to our mind when we sit down to pray. Maybe there's been a birth, maybe a death, a job change. I mean, big deals happen in our lives. So when it comes to praying, let's write down, there are usually six things that we pray about every day. So let's write them down. Family would be first. Your future, that's next. Family, future, and the third F would be your finances. Number four, you're praying about your work or your schoolwork. Number five, you're praying about Christian concerns. And number six, a current crisis, either in your life or in the life of your family or in the life of your church or in the life of people you love. Now, these are the great loves of our lives. This is where we live. This is where our hearts dwell, and they don't change very often, do they? So if I'm going to pray about my life, these six things are my life, aren't they? So this means when we come to pray that we're going to be praying about the same old things most of the time. And that's very normal. So the problem, once again, it's not that we pray about the same old things. Rather, here's the problem, and I want you to write it down. The problem is that we say the same old things about the same old things. And this is what causes our prayers to become stale and to become boring. And it causes us to just want to quit praying. It causes us to have a hard time when we come to pray. It causes us to not be able to stay focused in a heartfelt way. And we become discouraged in prayer. And then we feel like, well, there must be something wrong with me. I'm just not a good Christian. My prayer life is not dynamic. My prayer life is boring. I'm very tempted to stop praying altogether, but somehow the Spirit of God that's in you won't let you do that, will he? He won't let you give up because he's creating within you that Abba, Father, cry. And then you go to church and you hear a Sunday school lesson on prayer, or you hear a pastor speak about prayer, or you read a book on prayer, and for a while you try again, but then you end up saying the same old things about the same old things. You try to say it with more spiritual oomph and get more focused, but very soon the new enthusiasm has a way of evaporating, and it just doesn't last. I can't tell you how many times that's been my experience, where I just get a new renewed, you know, drive. I really want to be a prayer warrior. And that can be a cycle that we go in. Now, let's talk about the solution. Is there a solution? If so, it will have to be a very simple solution, because since God invites all believers, since the Spirit enables all believers, then prayer should essentially be something that is simple. God has children all over the world, from old to young.
Some are very smart, have very high IQs. Some are very simple. They don't even have a formal education. Most of the people around the world, they're just ordinary people like us. And so prayer must be simple. Therefore, let's write this down. It must be God's will for every Christian to have a meaningful, satisfying prayer life. And I love how the writer of this book is going to ask us to believe that there is a very simple, permanent, biblical solution to boring prayer. So what is the solution? Well, it's going to sound so simple. Are y'all ready? Here comes the solution. When you pray, pray through a passage of Scripture. Write that down. Particularly a psalm. Now that just didn't seem as dramatic as you were expecting it to sound, right? You mean that's it, Teresa? Yep, that's it. The very best place for learning to pray through a passage of Scripture is in the book of Psalms. Now, I've been in the book of Psalms now for all these years. I haven't left it yet. I'm old and I forget what I read. You know, that happens when you get old. So when I come to the psalm again, I cycle through the psalms every month. They're fresh and new to me every month. You know why? I'm at different places in my life. I have different prayer concerns. And I'm like, oh, that didn't say that before, but all of a sudden it says something totally different. Let's talk about the message, the method. The solution, pray the Bible. Let's talk about the method. Number one. You ready? You're going to open your Bible. You're going to start reading it. You're going to pause, and you're going to turn it into a prayer. That's a quote by John Piper. That's the method in a nutshell. Let's write down some things. So number one, simply go through a passage line by line, talking to God about whatever comes to mind as you read the text. You're not going to the Word here for the purpose of Bible study. You're going to the Word this time just for the purpose of prayer. You're going to take God's Word and you're going to let your prayer time revolve around a passage of Scripture. How easy is that? Anyone can do it. Anyone. All right, here's the next thing. If you don't understand the meaning of a verse, why, just go to the next verse. How about that? That's so easy. And if the meaning of the verse is perfectly clear, but nothing comes to mind to pray about, then go to the next verse again. And as you're doing this, here's the next thing. Just speak to the Lord about everything and anything that occurs to you as you slowly read the Word. And then add this. Pray about those things that come to mind, even if what comes to mind has nothing to do with the verse at all. You see, Philippians 4, verse 8, gives us permission to pray about everything and anything. And I put that on your handout. Teresa, what can I pray about? Everything. Everything. Any person, any object, any issue, any circumstance, any fear, any situation, anything in the universe is something that you can bring before the throne of God. So every thought that enters your mind as you're reading a passage of Scripture, even if it has nothing to do with that verse, is something you can bring to God. You're not studying your Bible. You're using it as a springboard for prayer. And that's why I need to address this. What I'm suggesting here is, you know, hermeneutics is the big theological word for taking Scripture and rightly dividing it. And that's very important. And when you study your Bible, you want to be sure you interpret it accurately. But when what I'm teaching you here is just to take the Word of God, and you're not doing interpretation. You're letting it be a springboard for prayer. And you know what? Some things just may come to your mind out of the blue. Stop and pray whatever is on your heart. So in this kind of a setting, the Bible reading is secondary. It's a process of prayer. Our focus is on God through prayer, and our glance is just at the Bible. We're letting the Bible give us biblical words for prayer. Let me give you an illustration. I think I put this on your handout. Suppose one morning you're reading out of Psalm 130 and you come to verse 3. Let's read that verse. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And I'm reading through that verse and I see the word mark there. It suddenly triggers me. I need to pray for Mark. I need to pray for my friend Mark. My friend Mark is going through a hard time right now. I'm just going to stop right there, and I'm going to pray for my friend Mark. Do you see what I'm talking about? He just popped in my mind as I was reading that psalm. I'm letting the Word of God be a springboard to lead me into prayer. Here's another thing to write down about the method. Simply turn every thought Godward as you read the passage. You may pray exactly what that text is about, or you may use Bible language to pray thoughts unrelated to the text that come to your mind while you're reading. Praying this way makes your passages more biblical than if you use your own words. You're not saying the same old things about the same old things. Let's take Psalm 23 for a minute. Look at it on your handout. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, Lord, thank you. You are my shepherd. You're the good shepherd. I just love being in your pasture. I love your pasture. You tenderly watch over me. You tenderly watch over all of that concerns me. Sometimes I may be praying for someone I love that's not saved. Oh, Lord, they're not in your pasture. I want to pray for this person today. Would you send your Holy Spirit and woo that person and bring that person to become a little lamb with me in this pasture? My heart will be so full of joy if you will do that. We'll rejoice together. He leads me to green pastures and beside quiet waters. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You're leading me. I'm not on my own. I want to nestle in close to you. And you're leading me to green pastures and quiet places, to abundance, to peace. Maybe at this point you'd want to pray for someone in your world who needs special guidance or someone who needs peace. And maybe that's you. So you just pray for yourself. And then I love this phrase, He restores my soul. Oh God, I have so many scars in my soul. Do you? I have scars. God, you have the power to turn my scars into something of beauty. You restore us. You take what's broken and you bring it to its original beauty. Oh, God, restore me. Maybe I have a friend who needs restoration. God, restore them. You are the restorer. You'll turn the hard things into good things in my life because that's who you are. That's what you do. God, I praise you. I don't have to limp through life handicapped. But in you, because you are the restorer, I can be an overcomer. Thank you, God. My heart's just searing as I'm praying these prayers. And I pray for those in my world who are lost. They need radical restoration. They need to be taken out of darkness and brought to light.
Oh, Lord, will you go and seek those who are lost? And I'm going to name their names as I pray. Look at the next phrase. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, Lord, Bill and I have made a stand all these years for your name. People look at us and they know, Teresa and Bill, they're claiming the name of Christ. They're standing for Christ. Oh, Lord, don't ever let us disappoint anyone. We don't ever want to put a mark against your name. You guided us. Your name is on the line in our lives, in the lives of our children. God, help them to stand in your name in this generation. May our children bring honor to your name. May our grandchildren bring honor to your name. Oh, Lord, we need your guidance in the way of righteousness. Lord, I don't want to take a detour. I don't want my children to have to take hard detours in life. They're so painful. Go to the next phrase. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Lord, our lives are brief. Our lives are fragile. Our lives are a vapor. But I know this one thing, Lord. No matter what you call me to walk through, you're with me as I walk through it. As I was doing this lesson, I thought about Dan Wynn, just buried his wife. Lord, I pray for Dan Wynn, because he's just walked through this valley of the shadow of death with his wife, Bobby. I forget how many years they were married, lots and lots of years. How many?
Over 60.
Over 60 years. God, I pray that you'll just cast out any fear as he faces the future. God, may he feel you with him very strongly in the valley of death. God, I pray your rod and your staff will bring great comfort to him. And then go to this phrase. Oh, this is my favorite phrase. And I start singing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Do y'all know that little song? Isn't that wonderful? God, I'm soaring now. Your goodness, your mercy, they're going to follow me because I'm your daughter all the days of my life. God, I want them to follow my children. I want that to follow my grandchildren. Lord, follow everyone in our church. Lord, I pray for my Sunday school class. Surely goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of the Lord. And we're going to dwell together forever in your house. Now, I've just prayed through Psalm 23 with you. Guess what? I didn't say the same old things about the same old things. And yet I touched everything on my prayer life. And I feel exhilarated. I feel refreshed. I feel encouraged. I feel faith-filled. And I'll tell you why. It's because I was praying the Word of God, and I know God's Word is powerful. Amen? Now, that gives you a little taste for what I'm telling you and trying to teach you to do. But I'm going to stop right here because we're out of time. I need you to fold your hand out, put it in your book, take it with you when you come back next week. And we're going to pick up where we left off. Yes.
You skip number 6.
Okay.
This method does not apply to Bible blank.
Oh, Bible interpretation. This method does not apply to Bible interpretation. I'm sorry. Thank you, Marsha. I forgot to circle that word. Those handouts can really trip you up. Now, does this sound like something that you're interested in? Doesn't it? We're going to explore it further next week. I've got a lot more I'm going to say, so I want you to be here. I'm kind of tricky like that. I make you come back. I really don't want you to miss. But, you know, this week, pick this little book up. You can read this little book in 1 hour. I'm giving you kind of like the Cliff Notes version of this little book. And I'm so excited about it. And I can teach it to you and tell you it works because I've done it and it works. And then I'm going to share with you next week, there's an app you get that is just amazing. And it helps you do this method so easy. You always have your phone with you, right? You just go to the Five Psalm app and you can pick up and pray anywhere you are. So let's pray together and I'll see you next week. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the encouragement that has been ours this morning in this wonderful area of prayer. Lord, make us to be women who are effective prayer warriors. Women who are praying over their worlds. Lord, we need to be praying women. We want to be praying women. And we thank you for what we're learning that's going to help us become that very thing. Father, I pray you bring us all back next week as we complete this lesson together. And I pray all of these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Thank you.